This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, this is Alex Rodriguez, and you're listening to the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thank you, Alex, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on a beautiful Monday, February 21st, 2022. Michael K. and Peter Rosenberg with you. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, that is your responsibility. Hope everybody's having a good day. Let me explain right off the top that Don LaGreca is battling right now a case of pneumonia. And he said to me when I spoke with him that please feel free to tell people exactly what is going on. He developed pneumonia after battling COVID last week, and he's in the hospital right now. He said, please tell people that I am getting better. Hopefully I'm released tomorrow, but he was put in the hospital early yesterday. I know Peter and I and Andrew and Anthony, we're all worried for him. He's our brother, not just our coworker, and we want only the best for him, but he seemed upbeat when I was communicating with him, and he said that he should be out tomorrow. But just a warning, everybody, this is still out there. This is still serious. And if you want to send him some love, you know how you could do it on Twitter, at Don LaGreca. I'm sure he would love to hear from all of you, but that's why Don is not with us. Hopefully he can return at some point, but really scary, Peter, when we heard about it over the weekend, because Don on Friday was not feeling very great. He was cold, and we told him, don't do the show, but Don's such a workhorse. He demanded that he did the show, but then he just got progressively worse over the weekend and was smart enough to go to the hospital and where they admitted him, and he does have a case of pneumonia right now, but he said he is getting better.
Yeah, it is scary, and it is hard with Don because, to your point, he is such a workhorse. That is sort of his default way of handling things. And, you know, I think in this case, the unfortunate thing is, you know, Michael, the working hard works directly against you getting better. You know, right. You have to rest your body, even if you feel like, oh, I'm just going on the radio. But listen, Don's not some lazy half-asser like Peter Rosenberg.
Right.
Okay?
Never has been.
When he's on the air, he's not just giving you, he's not just sitting there talking. He really puts,
I do well.
Yeah, no, that we know, Don. He puts a lot into it. So it's important that he gets his rest. But he said today he was feeling better, and hopefully we get him back by the end of the week and the next couple days.
Now, also remember one thing. Last week, or was it the week before? It was after the two Ranger games that he did at the Garden. He had COVID, and he refused to take off. And he wasn't feeling great. You know, you could hear his voice was scratchy. And he just refused to take off, Peter. And then it kind of he stopped testing positive, which shows you that it could still be in your system.
Right.
Stopped testing positive, and then he developed pneumonia.
Yeah, I know. And then the other day he was telling us he was just feeling like he couldn't quite get warm.
Right.
You know, and he didn't know what was going on because he wasn't able to get warm. When he'd be out in the cold, when he'd get back inside, his body wouldn't heat the same way. So, and then I guess this weekend he lost his appetite and went to the hospital, and here we are. So hopefully everything will be just fine. And hopefully, while he was laying in the hospital, he got to take in Steph Curry's magic last night. Because you know what, Michael? For a lot that can be said about All-Star Weekend, and there's a lot to say, the complaints certainly around the dunk contest, no sort of defense for three quarters. But, man, when it comes to the pomp and circumstance and the celebration usually of at least one amazing player, the NBA truly knows how to make it feel like an important event when it's really just a bunch of nothing.
But it is an exhibition of extraordinary skills, Peter, because watching Curry do that actually gave you goosebumps.
Yep.
Because, you know, it's very rare to watch somebody that is so elite, and elite at such a consistent level. And it was amazing. And you can say, well, they didn't play defense. Well, they started to play defense.
Yep.
Now, he did get cold in the fourth quarter. But they started to play defense on him, and they couldn't stop him. He hit a shot from the logo at half court. He is that good. He is that beautiful of a shooter. And the thing that I loved about it, Peter, is that I was watching the entire game with my son.
Oh, wow.
And to see the joy that he had as a seven-year-old. And you could see why this kid, Steph Curry, he's not a kid anymore, is the one that all kids love.
Yeah.
Because they could picture themselves doing that. He's not flying through the air dunking. He's not the biggest guy in the world.
Nope.
He's kind of inconspicuous looking. And the guy is a sniper. And, you know, when that run, when he hit one after the other, Charlie kept jumping up and down and waving his arms. He can't miss. Dad, he can't miss. And that brought me joy to see the, you know, see that through his eyes. You know, I've seen so much of sports, but to see how a child reacts and what's special to them, it was kind of wonderful to experience it that way. And, you know, 16 for 27 from the three-point stripe, 50 points. He came in just under Anthony Davis's all-time All-Star game total. And he was trying. He even said when he got the Kobe Bryant MVP award, he said, I was trying, but he just couldn't hit a shot at the end. And then it was so perfect because he was actually born in Ohio because his dad was playing for the Cavaliers when he was born. And he couldn't get a shot to go down in the fourth quarter. And then, you know, it was 163 was the target number. And then it was LeBron James. I mean, turning around. And you said they were not playing defense. Peter, they played defense at the end of each of the quarters.
Yep.
And they definitely played defense for that entire fourth quarter. And that was just LeBron James being LeBron James, kid from Akron, Ohio. That was wonderful to see. And you know, you mentioned that you watched the entire, you know, pregame show, I guess you could call it. The NBA just does it right. They know how to produce these events. And the 75 greatest players and the 75th anniversary, I thought that was amazing as well. So it was fun to watch. It was just an incredible Sunday, but it wasn't as much of an incredible Saturday because the dunk contest was just, it's hard to explain how bad it was. If you didn't watch it, it's hard to explain how bad it was.
Well, there are a few things that made it really a struggle, a slog, if you will. The way the night builds, momentum-wise, the night starts out fun. I really loved the fun that they did with the skills competition.
Right.
They had rookies on one team, Antetokounmpo's making up another team, and then the hometown Cavaliers making up the other team, right? A really fun format, you know, a really fun format for this skills competition, and it was great. That builds into the three-point shootout, which turns out awesome because
yeah, never Carl, disappoints.
Carl Anthony Towns ends up winning. I think he was a I looked right before, and I wish I'd thrown money on him, Michael. He was a plus 1,200 underdog. And, you know, he may be among the biggest men to ever win the contest. So that was super exciting that Carl Anthony Towns wins a three-point shootout. And then you get to the dunk contest, and it was just sort of immediately disappointing. Like, the missed dunk started from the very beginning. And when you mentioned the excitement at the end of the All-Star game, Michael, that's what makes me know all it takes is the right tweak to save an event. They saved the NBA All-Star game. Don't forget, a couple of years ago, people were really down on it too. I think, Mike, you were.
Yeah.
People had enough. There was no defense. There was no meaningful play. It just felt like the NBA All-Star game was no longer a thing. They tweak it to the quarter scoring and then picking that number in the fourth quarter. They started that 2 years ago. And now you have a target number to play to, and all of a sudden you get a magical fourth quarter with a LeBron James game winner. They could do that same thing with the dunk contest. They just need to tweak it.
Now, we had a spirited argument with Andrew Gunling on the pre-show Zoom where, you know, you want bigger stars in the dunk contest, and he has argued, and he makes a good point. You know, Zach LaVine wasn't a big star, and Aaron Gordon weren't big stars, and those are entertaining dunk contests. I agree. And I think that this dunk contest got off to a really bad start, Peter. I don't know if you agree with me. What was Cole Anthony doing? First of all, he came off as eminently unlikable. What was the thing with the Timberlands? There was no explanation. Why was he putting on Timberlands? I don't get it. And then it took him forever to put on the Timberlands. And then these guys are trying shots that they can't hit, and they're missing, and they're missing, and they're missing. And they're allowed three misses, and then you get, like, 6 points. Well, that means that I could miss three dunks and get 30 points. It's ridiculous. They should get zero. Why would you get 6 points if you don't even put a ball in the hoop? And Cole Anthony was trying all these different things, and he looked overmatched. And Obi Toppin, I'm glad for him, a local kid, you know, from the Knicks, but he didn't do anything that was breathtaking.
No.
I mean, if these guys just dunked the ball, they would have won. There's got to be a rule tweak, Peter, where If you miss one dunk, you're out. You get a zero. And then they wouldn't try to do these ridiculous dunks that takes 5-6 tries to do. Oh, it was dreadful. It was just tough to watch. It really was.
Well, I think they can't have it where you can't miss any, because then no one would push. Excuse me. No.
How about they let you miss boundaries. One? You can't miss right. Three. It takes forever.
Or what if you can miss a total of three across your entire run in the tournament? So if you use it on your first dunk, then know that in the next round you have no missed dunks. Something like that. Like, you got to be able to pick your battles. But oh my God, Cole Anthony, first of all, you're right. The Timberland bit, I guess, was all playing on Greg Anthony being out there. So there was a play on the Knicks, on New York. So the idea, I imagine, for Cole Anthony was wearing Timberlands to be like very New York.
Well, he is from New York, but I mean, I think they wear Timberlands all over the country.
They do, but it's part of this era's version of like jokingly stereotyping New York is Timberlands.
Oh, so okay, then start with him on instead of lacing him up like that.
That literally took 2 minutes of him just sitting there. It was a terrible. He should have just revealed them. He should have had it covered and then just revealed it.
Right.
Instead of having to get dressed. It got it off to a really weird start. And then once he missed his first couple dunks, it's ruined. Now you made us wait for 2 minutes and you're missing the dunks. It's a disaster. So I just think it wouldn't be that hard. My friend sent a good suggestion for a way to do it. Like, there are ways to tinker with this thing and make it fun. I don't agree with, you know, Ryan was just like, oh, we burned this whole thing to the ground. It's terrible. It's dreck. And I don't think that's true. My friend suggested them doing it like the show Chopped.
yeah.
He said a solo round with four dunkers, an assisted round, three dunkers, and then a showstopper round, that's the final two. Dunkers get three do-overs like lifelines that can be used anytime. Gamify the whole thing, no scores, judges eliminate weakest dunker per round. There are ways to do it. There are ways to do it. Andrew, don't you agree that if you tinker with this thing, if the NBA just got off their high horse and treated it like they did the All-Star game, they could make it great again?
Yeah, I fully agree. I just don't know why. Yes, there are some years this was a dud. Like, this was a bad dunk contest. There's no way around it. I just don't know why with the dunk contest we so quickly go to the argument of get rid of it, it's played, it's done. Like, A, tweak it, like you're saying, or some years it's awesome. Even in the current format. So I don't know. I still enjoy it. I still get excited for it, and I acknowledge some years it's no good. Some years it's great.
What would you think about this, though? In order to perform in the dunk contest, you have to be an all-star. Then you're going to get the biggest names. Now, also, I think in order to get the big names to participate, you've got to put a huge prize on it. What is it, Kia that sponsors it? $1 million for the winner. That gets people's attention. Even if you make $40 million, $1 million is a lot of money. And how about this? Take playground legends that can dunk or YouTube legends that could dunk and make them contestants. Let's see what kind of scores they get.
By the way, I love that idea. I don't understand. It's not a real thing. So why can't you have someone who's not in the league, at least in one slot? Having one person who's not in the league be in it. By the way, I know this may sound crazy. I wouldn't even hate that in the shootout, having one of those two. I wouldn't. Would anyone really mind if an amazing women's college player was in the three-point shootout too?
No.
I think you could spice up the three-point shootout and the dunk contest by adding one or two amateurs from somewhere else that are able to be in it. I mean, none of this is a real game that counts for anything, and how cool would it be to have someone who comes off of YouTube shock the world and become a name because they win the dunk contest. It would be awesome.
It'd be amazing. So there are ways to do it. And, you know, you talk about people that aren't in the league. I mean, you kind of like the guys that are in it are kind of just in the league. It's not like they're stars. I mean, if you think about the past dunk contest, Larry Nance, Michael Jordan, Dominique Wilkins, the best of the best were in the dunk contest now. I mean, Cole Anthony starts by doing this weird dance as his dad comes out with a bag with the Timberlands, and he's doing a dance as if he's a well-known commodity. You spent 1 year injury filled at North Carolina, you're not that much of a commodity to make such a spectacle of yourself, and then you couldn't hit a shot. I don't want to jump on the kid, but, you know, enter it. You know, Obi Toppin kind of has some humility to it. This kid had no humility as if he was Michael Jordan and then couldn't hit a shot. Now, speaking of Michael Jordan, I don't know about you. They didn't show him in the first half, right? So I said he's probably going to be, you know, on video for this. When he came out, there's something about him. He has an aura about him. Even with all the biggest stars in NBA history around him, he has this glow about him. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And then when he hugged LeBron, it's like two generations coming. It was a great weekend for the NBA. It really, really was. And
Where was my guy?
Who's your guy?
Larry.
Oh, he had the weirdest video. The ones that had videos, they were waving to the crowd as if they were there. It looked so dorky. I wonder why Larry Bird didn't show up.
I thought that was such an odd. What are you doing? and for anyone, what are you doing that you missed that? It looked so fun for all of those guys. And back to TNT doing a great job with it. You talked about the Michael moment hugging LeBron. There was also a Michael Luka Doncic moment that was really great. But TNT did a brilliant job of just leaving cameras on in sort of the green rooms around all these guys. So you just had like constant B-roll of all the legends in these different random pairings hanging out and talking. And Michael, the NBA is so interesting. It's like, it feels like practically every all-time great is still alive. I mean, I know it's not that way, but man, a lot of them are still around.
I will tell you this to be a little bit morbid, because I have always said this, Peter.
Okay.
Old people don't live to really, you know, old age. There's a lot going on in a tall body. And if you look at the people that were no longer with us, most of them were centers.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it was true. Amazing. Most of the greatest players of all time in the NBA are still with us. One of the highlights was a show of spite, which you know that only I can appreciate.
Oh, you love it. Yeah.
Did you know what I'm going to say?
No.
So Kevin Garnett. Mm-hmm. is introduced as one of the great forwards, and you know they were on that second level, and then they introduced the guards. And next to Garnett is LeBron. And then they introduced Ray Allen. And Ray Allen is dapping everybody. And I don't know if Garnett wouldn't dap him or Ray Allen passed him by. And then Allen daps a grinning LeBron James. And this is still from the fact that Ray Allen left the Celtics to go
and go
to the Heat. It was unbelievable. There's still such hate there.
I know.
When you can carry hate for that long, that's a beautiful thing.
Well, I mean, it does show you, though, Garnett's a maniac. And that was I think it was known that Garnett was a maniac. Wasn't it KG who had the really crazy back and forth with Carmelo?
Oh, yeah, the Honey Nut Cheerios, yeah.
I mean, he always was crazy. By the way, did you not feel good for Carmelo? Like, God, did he seem happy to be in that group?
You know, we were talking, Andrew and I, during the festivities. So there's 75, right?
Yeah.
You always wonder, who's the 75th? It's got to be, two names that we thought of, Damian Lillard.
Yep.
Right? You got to just squeeze in there. I think Damian Lillard's a really fine player, but is he better than Alex English, who was left out? And I think Carmelo's got to be...
Carmelo's
74th or 75th, something like that, because everybody else comes out and you go, yeah, he deserves. Yeah, he's in it. He kind of – Damian Lillard? Carmelo? I mean, Carmelo's obviously scored a heck of a lot of points, but do you think of him as one of the 75 best – I guess he is, but I'd say that he was probably definitely in the last 10, wouldn't you say?
So it looks like ESPN ranked them.
Okay.
When did they do this? Today. Oh, that was today. Okay. So they have Bill Sharman as number 76.
Who was a great player for the Lakers and then a coach, too.
Yeah. No, it says here Washington Capitals and Boston Celtics.
Oh, that's he coached the Lakers. I'm sorry. Thank you. Yes. Yeah.
Damian Lillard, 75.
Okay.
Dave Bing, 74.
Okay.
Dave DeBuscher, 73. Billy Cunningham, 72.
I think that's wrong.
But you think he should be
higher? Billy Cunningham was a hell of a player. So was Dave DeBuscher.
Anthony Davis, 71.
Yeah, I don't understand how Anthony Davis is in there. Does he have enough of a body of work?
I know. I mean, he, almost 10 years, though. He's at almost 10 years at 24 and 10.
And where was Anthony Davis that he couldn't show up?
God, that, I know, that is pretty lame. Dolph Shays, 70. Carmelo at 69. Westbrook at 68. Rodman, 67. So those are some of the names. Robert Parrish at 63. Andrew asked me about that, whether me as a Celtics fan, if I thought Parrish jumped out as Hall of Famer. I got to tell you, to me, he doesn't. I mean, not Hall,
Hall of Famer,
as top 75.
Right.
He's obviously a Hall of Famer, but I mean, and it's it. I love Robert Parrish. He was a big part of that team that was loaded, but his career numbers are 14.5 and 9. Like he just didn't have a dynamic game to me that I would think of him as 75 best players. Man, they have a bunch of Celtics here in a row. They have ESPN has Robert Parrish at 63, Paul Pierce at 62, Dave Cowan 61, Sam Jones. My former substitute teacher, at 60.
Wait, the real Sam Jones was your substitute teacher?
Yeah, I told you this before.
I don't remember you telling me that.
Yeah, Sam
the
Jones.
The Sam Jones.
The Sam Jones, Celtics champion, went on to be, in his older days, a substitute teacher in Montgomery County, where I grew up. And
did you guys treat him with respect, or you treat him like people treat substitute teachers?
No, people loved him. And he would show his – he would wear the championship ring to work. I mean, people loved him. Like, he got a kick out of it, and everyone knew that this guy was – this guy's an NBA champion. Like, he was a thing. He was a sweet man. Kevin McHale's at 39.
Well, now you're right in the heart of it, so.
Yeah, now we're in the midst. Iverson's 31. This is – let's go to the way tippy top. Jordan 1, LeBron 2, Kareem 3, Magic 4, Wilt 5, Russell 6, Bird 7, Duncan 8, Robertson 9, Kobe 10.
That's Oscar, not David. Robertson.
Robertson,
okay.
Yep.
Okay.
I can't believe Tim Duncan's 8.
Yeah, that's striking.
Like, Andrew, am I a basketball ignoramus that I think Duncan's absolutely amazing, but it seems like the number on him's a little high?
I've got no problem with it. I think he's probably the greatest power forward in NBA history.
God, you know what? You would think that. A man who loves boring movies would also love Tim Duncan.
Yeah, I love this guy. He was all fundamental. There was no flash, but I mean,
big fundy.
Look at his success. Look at his numbers. Look at his success in the NBA Finals. He's an absolute legend.
19-11. 3 assists, 2 blocks. I mean, he's a hell of a player, no doubt about it.
Would you be outraged, Andrew, if they had taken Carmelo out if he was 76th?
I think he gets in. Look, I love Lillard. For me, he's the one who I think is fortunate to be in this group. And when they do NBA Top 100 25 years from now, maybe Lillard would be in no problem. But at this point, I don't know. The guys who I felt bad for, I think it was a tough L for Dwight Howard to take, not getting in, and I think Tracy McGrady also. Him, those two not getting in are the ones that stood out to me.
I would take T-Mac over Damian Lillard. I never liked Dwight Howard's game. I don't care what anyone says. So, I know his stats are good. I know he's great, but like, I don't know. I never enjoyed his game at all. But T-Mac. By the way, did anybody watch the T-Mac versus AI highlight thing?
No.
I did see that, yes.
I heard it was really good. Did you enjoy it?
Well, I only saw like the clips that they showed on the TNT All-Star pregame show.
Oh, I heard the whole format was a lot of fun.
I didn't see the whole thing. Just they did like a highlight of it.
You know, Andrew always knocks me, Peter, but when the main broadcast, I guess that was TNT,
yeah,
had on Iverson during the All-Star game,
yeah,
Andrew stripped down. That's his guy.
I'm a little upset I missed it. Andrew, did you see that? Because I was watching TBS.
Look, I'll get behind anything.
Yeah, sadly, I had the TBS broadcast on.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that Iverson was on as like a guest color commentator on the TNT one.
You know what? I bailed on TBS because they shrunk the screen. What I know what Shaq and Barkley and Kenny Smith look like. What'd you shrunk the screen for?
I agree with you 1,000%. That made no sense.
I was going to watch that, and when even Charlie said, why is the screen small? I said, well, let's go to a big screen, and that was what it was on TNT. We know what they look like.
That was such a weird a weird choice. And now I really want to see the Iverson commentary, and I don't know if I'll ever find it.
He was on when Steph was going off, and they were
– He was freaking out, right?
They were freaking out. Reggie, Dwayne Wade, and Allen Iverson were freaking out. They were, like, jumping on top of each other. It was great.
Yeah,
it was really
everyone
fun.
Everyone said Iverson had a really good weekend. I'm upset I missed that,
although he's wearing a Red Sox cap. I don't get it.
I just don't understand how they – listen, it was fine. The TBS broadcast thing was a fun idea. In reality, I didn't need it. Like, when push came to shove, and you guys know, I take every opportunity to show my love to the NBA on TNT and the inside crew. They did the pregame. They did halftime. They did post. I think I probably should have just watched Kevin Harlan and gotten all the other things, and I don't know if I needed the whole game.
Let's take a brief time out. We'll hear your thoughts on what was a fun NBA All-Star weekend. We also will talk about the Juwan Howard situation with Michigan.
Lord.
Baseball owners and the players met today. Looked like they left after an hour and 15 minutes. So I don't know if they just broke for lunch or something like that. They started the meeting at 1. They ended at 2:15. They're in Jupiter, Florida, down at Roger Dean Stadium. That's where the Cardinals train, so, and I think the Marlins too. So we'll monitor it and see exactly where it is. But this is the week it has to get done, everybody, if you don't want to miss regular season games. All right, lot to do. Kay, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking about NBA All-Star Weekend, just a thrilling fourth quarter in the All-Star game. A lot of fun to watch. I still contend that of all the sports, the All-Star event that's closest to the real game being played is baseball. Because you can't fake it against a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. You can't not play defense. You're trying. The only thing that doesn't ring true, and nowadays in baseball it's not that much different, and, you know, the starting pitcher goes about an inning. Well, in baseball now, starting pitcher goes about 5 innings. So there's a pitcher per inning. And that's different than a regular season, except if it's an opener. But they play defense. They play hard. They want to win. In basketball, it's a glorified showcase. Hockey, it's a glorified showcase. Because anything where physicality involved with playing defense and maybe getting hurt, they don't do it. And the Pro Bowl's a joke. It should just be flag football. So the one that comes closest to a real game is baseball, but it doesn't have the same kind of cachet, Peter, as the NBA does. The NBA, I think of all of the All-Star games and the All-Star festivities and weekend, that's the thing that seems like it resonates the most with its fans. I don't know if baseball still does that with interleague play. Every single game is on TV. Seeing the guys play in an All-Star game, it's not that big a deal because you've seen it. You've done it. In the past, when the All-Star game, you know, when Pete Rose ran over Ray Fosse, you didn't see those guys playing against each other a lot. Now you see National League teams play American League teams all the time, so there's not that much of a delineation between leagues. But in terms of the game is the closest facsimile to a real game in baseball. The other three sports, it doesn't look like that at all. I don't even understand why you can't play some defense in the NBA. Although the way this is done, Peter, is it does make you play defense at the end of each quarter. So you get a real game at the end of each quarter.
Yep, 100%. And listen, you're basketball playing defense is playing real defense is where injuries can occur, right? Like if everyone's allowed to come down and shoot as they please, and when someone drives the paint, no one's contesting the shot. So when they land after a dunk, no one's there. Everyone's safe. What you have to be careful about is a bad ankle roll or something landing the wrong way. So I get it. I get why you want to be mindful. You can certainly have a lot more risk in an NBA All-Star game than baseball. But if baseball could just get a little bit of sort of the pageantry and cultural fun of the NBA All-Star, they'd be in business. Because you're right, the game itself can be great.
Yeah. What did you think of Macy Gray's national anthem? It seemed like LeBron James was stifling a giggle.
I saw the headline about that, and then when I watched the video, like, it wasn't clear to me that LeBron was actually holding back laughter.
Right.
Was it clear?
No, it wasn't. When I watched it, I didn't think it was clear. But then, you know, when they spoke about it, it seemed like he might have been stifling a lot. It was a different anthem, I'll tell you that.
But it was what she sounds like. I guess I didn't find – she always sounds like she's sort of like half talking to me.
Right.
And it sort of sounded like that. I mean, it was sort of random, but I didn't think that much of it. I also couldn't believe they went through and named all 75 players at halftime.
Yeah, that was a long halftime. And you could see in the third quarter, Peter, LeBron had nothing. Couldn't hit a shot. Because it looked like Steph was going to let him be the MVP in his hometown. But he had nothing. He couldn't hit a shot. Could not hit a shot. And, you know, he got cooled down for over an hour. I think that was about an hour, right?
Oh, yeah, and he had to get – and those guys who were in the top 75 had to get dressed.
Right.
They all put on regular clothes. I won some money during the All-Star game.
How so? Tell it to me.
Threw a little money on Giannis over.
Over what?
Over points.
Pick 'em. Okay.
And I got it at 25.5, and he finished with 26.
Nice. Good for you. How much
Thank
did you,
you
win?
Wow.
$30.
Look at you really rolling big.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's how I do it. Thank you.
Now, I was scrolling through my Twitter follows during the break, and the Major League Baseball meetings with the players still going on. So it was just like a minor break where they went to
Yay!
A different part of the place, different part of the stadium complex. So that's good. So it started at 1. It's 3:37 right now. They're still talking. And this is the week it's going to get done. If it doesn't get done this week by the 28th, then that will probably delay the start of the season. And I think that once the season's delayed and you're already losing games, then both sides would dig in. So if they realize the enormity of missing games, both sides, maybe they do come together. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. Richard in Freehold, why don't you start it off?
How you guys doing? Now, listen, I was jumping off my seat when you made the comment that to include a YouTuber in the dunk contest, that's genius. That is absolutely genius. Or somebody like the professor going for the three-point contest. I mean, that will just generate more millions of viewers. I love it. I love that idea.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I don't know if they would do it. You wonder, would NBA players, feel cheapened, or would they look bad if they lost to a YouTuber? I don't know. Get over it, That's what's good for the game. Because you could be great at dunking and be bad at everything else in basketball. That's why you're not a pro. But you could take some people from the playgrounds here in New York, playground legends. I mean, Obi Toppin's dad was a playground legend who was a great dunker. Wouldn't it be great to see a 2021-22 version of that kind of guy in the dunk? I think it would be extraordinary. And if you get a YouTuber who they put these unbelievable dunks on YouTube, you'd get all those followers, too, that might not even engage. It was genius on my part to bring that up.
You're very, very smart.
I really am. Buddha in the Bronx. Buddha.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing? First and foremost, Donnie, get better, baby. Get better, Don. We love you, man.
Absolutely.
Get better, baby.
Yes.
You know?
And he's watching,
Listen,
Buddha.
Mike, you saw
He definitely he's watching because he has yes in his hospital room, so he is watching. So he heard.
Listen,
that.
Man, I think everybody that listens to the station loves Dollar Record.
Damn right.
Listen, it is what it is. Everybody loves that guy.
Yes, you're
everybody,
right.
All across all lives, racial, old, whatever. Everybody loves that.
No doubt.
So just want him to be well. You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely.
Listen, Mike, you stole my thunder a little bit. I used to go and talk about this with Uncle Larry Hardesty all the time. Not only do you open it to one YouTuber or street baller, listen, have a prelim contest where you take some guys off the street. You know, you vet them in that prelim contest, too, because you don't want to put nobody out there that's going to act like a fool on public television. You have those guys go through, a contest. Then the best of those best, you open it up. You say, look, we're going to do 20 slots for this dunk contest. Then we're going to WWE, put that briefcase hanging at the ceiling, in the arena, $2 million straight cash, homie. And you watch. Let me tell you something. Those players that'll be sitting there mad that other players that are not NBA players in there, when one of those dudes gets that light, you watch and see how those guys get turned up and start that machismo starts kicking in. They be like, listen, y'all not going to just be coming here beating us, at our game. And I think that'll, man, listen. Remember that kid that did that dunk over Michelle Beadle back in the days, that 780?
Right.
We had that red dress
I'll tell you what, Buddha. I know that Tracy McGrady was really hurt and upset that he wasn't in. And I think Dwight Howard was, too. Dwight Howard has a case. Peter might not have liked his game, but you watched when he was with Orlando. He can play. He's a player.
How about Vince Carter?
Same thing. Also upset. I don't know if Chris Mullin would make it. Chris Mullin was a great college player. He was a good NBA player. I don't know if he was the all-time great.
He's pretty damn good.
Yeah, he was good, but this is not the pretty damn group. Damn good group. It's 75 best players who ever lived.
That's a fair point.
1-800-919-3776. It's Kay Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael Kay Show.
Watching Curry do that actually gave you goosebumps. And the thing that I loved about it, Peter, is that I was watching the entire game with my son.
Oh, wow.
And to see the joy that he had as a 7-year-old, you can see why Steph Curry is the one that all kids love, because they could picture themselves doing that. He's not flying through the air dunking. He's not the biggest guy in the world. The guy is the sniper. And when that run, when he hit one after the other, Charlie kept jumping up and down and waving his arms. He can't miss. Dad, he can't miss. And that brought me joy to see that through his eyes, to see how a child reacts and what's special to them. It was kind of wonderful to experience it that way.
The Michael Kay Show.
Andrew, am I a basketball ignoramus?
On 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. 50 degrees today. Beautiful day.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is a nice one.
Didn't have to have a heavy coat on, no scarf, no hat. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Went out for a little holiday brunch.
President's Day holiday.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Today is a holiday.
Yeah, but do you celebrate it? I mean, you have parties?
No.
Because this is really George Washington's birthday.
Yeah, essentially.
And they consolidated all the presidents into one.
But I was off work this morning.
But not today.
No, we don't do 3-day weekends on this show.
No, never have, never will. So before we get into the Juwan Howard thing, a very humbling moment for me, a little depressing moment.
Okay.
So, you know, we're on Yes right now on the simulcast. So when I'm setting up everything, I have Yes on, obviously, because I watch Yes all the time. Yes is tremendous. And the thing they had on before our show was the one-game playoff in 1978 between the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Okay.
And the manager of the Yankees at that time was Bob Lemon. And Bob Lemon, to me, always looked like he was so old, right? Like Methuselah, really old.
I don't know.
So then I got curious. I said, let me go to the Google machine and see how old Bob Lemon was in 1978. Mm-mm. Bob Lemon in 1978, who I looked at as so old, was 58 years old. He was younger than I am today.
Yeah.
It's very, very humbling. Not even humbling, depressing. Because I can't picture that I look that old to people. No knock on the late Bob Lemon, but, I mean, he did look old then. So, it really knocked me for a loop, Peter. I just thought I'd share that.
That is
troubling.
Upsetting.
Yeah.
I play this game constantly. Everything I watch, I go, well, how old was that person at that time?
Like the Wilford Brimley game in Cocoon. Yeah.
That's the game. It's the Wilford Brimley game. Like this weekend, Natalie threw on the movie This Is 40.
Right.
You know, I'm 42 now.
Oh.
So I'm watching the movie This Is 40, and I'm actually older than the characters in the movie. But then, I have to look it up and see, well, how old was Paul Rudd when he actually made this movie?
And he was in his 30s, right?
No, he was 42.
Really?
Yeah.
How long ago was that movie?
10 years ago.
So he's 52 now, and he's the sexiest man alive, according
That's to right. People. Only getting better, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Now, why don't you go that route? That's the way you should.
I plan on it.
All right. So, yesterday, Wisconsin beat up on Michigan, and the thing that seemed like it was the tipping point in the game was with 10 seconds left in the game, Wisconsin called a timeout, and that really chapped Michigan's head coach, Juwan Howard. guard, the coach, said something like, he explained it later, well, we had all of our bench there. So they weren't like trying to pour it on because they didn't. They were playing all their bench players. So they were having trouble bringing it up against the press. So I wanted to reset, give them another 10-second clock, so I call timeout. Well, as they do the handshake line after the game, the final score was, I believe, Michigan won by 15 points. Wisconsin won by 15 points over Michigan. Right.
Yeah.
And Juwan Howard is walking by the Wisconsin head coach, guard, and says, I'm not going to forget that. At which point, guard then tries to explain what he did. And in explaining it, I guess he touched the elbow of Juwan Howard.
He kind of grabbed it. He kind of reached out to grab him, like, "Hey, I want to say something."
Well, let me explain what happened, and then Howard lost his mind. And then, as it escalates, he does an open hand slap slash punch at an assistant coach on Wisconsin, and then all hell breaks loose.
That's right.
So it's funny to have like a little time to digest this and formulate an opinion, because if it happened like right before the show, you're just going to spit it out, which is essentially what we do anyway. But it's funny to see the different people defending different people. You know, he has no right to put his hands on him. He didn't grab him by the neck. He didn't grab him by the front of the shirt. He grabbed him by the elbow, as Peter said, to slow him down so he could end up, you know, talking to him and explaining it. Now, is that a right thing to do? No, but it's not something that should set you off like that. And it set off Howard, and it set off his players, too. And then Howard eventually hits the Wisconsin assistant, Joe Krabbenhoff. I mean, it wasn't like a Mike Tyson punch. It looked like it was open-handed. But that set off the players, too. I mean, because if the coach could do it, then the players say, well, we're going to do it. And right away, I mean, everybody is so extreme, Peter. Well, Howard has to be fired. I don't agree with that at all. People do make mistakes. I believe it's a terrible look for a coach to do something like that. He's got to be more in control of his emotions, because he did that in the Big Ten Conference, conference championship.
It was against Maryland.
Against Maryland, against Turgeon.
Yeah, him and Mark Turgeon almost got in a fight.
He ended up getting thrown out of the game. Yeah, ended up getting thrown out of the game. You got to have a little bit better control because everybody looks at the coach, and I understand that they're coaching to win games. But they are, in fact, John Thompson used to say it, they're educators. We're teachers. And what you do, and if the kids see that that's okay for you to do it, then they're going to do it. And if you can't control your emotions, they're going to do it. I think he has to be suspended. Now, I don't know. People say he has to be suspended for the rest of the year, which isn't very long, and also any postseason. Listen, there has to be a suspension, because you have to tell everybody and the kids that's not the right thing to do. Now, in terms of the calling a timeout, you could say that that's ridiculous, and I think it is ridiculous. But also, with that little time left and you can't come back from 15 down, why is Juwan Howard pressing the bench players on Wisconsin? Now, if Wisconsin had kept in its starters and you want to press and make it difficult for them, that's okay. You're not coming down from 15 down with 30 seconds left, so why are you pressing kids that sit at the end of the bench? Maybe that's why guard called the timeout. I can't get inside of his head. He gave some cockamamie excuse. He's trying to reset the 10-second clock for them to get it over easily. But I think it probably bothered him. Why is this guy pressing the kids at the end of the bench? I put up the white flag for you. I'm not trying to pour it on. I actually put in my bench players. So all I can say is this. Howard has to be suspended. I don't say fire him. I don't think he should be fired. People do make mistakes. He's always comported himself, even as a player with the Fab Five, as a gentleman. So you don't completely just wipe away everything he's done because something really dumb. But Juwan Howard also has to realize he was not contrite at all afterward, at all. Didn't seem like he did anything wrong, but he said, if the Big Ten suspends me, then I'll just, you know, I'm not going to fight it. I'll just accept what they do. But he didn't say he was sorry, didn't say they did anything wrong. But, Peter, it has to be met with some kind of, you can't do that.
Listen, I'm glad to your point that people don't just make these decisions. It's not just fans and randoms who decide while emotional, because my gut was fire him in the immediate. You know, that was my first thought, because I'm thinking back to the situation with Maryland, and I'm like, this is the second time where he, as the head coach, has been the catalyst of a brawl. or in the case of the Maryland one, near brawl. This one got pretty ugly.
Yeah,
this one
led to swinging.
This one led to real players throwing real punches. And I know this may surprise people, and they think that I'd come on the other way defending the coach. Listen, now with a little time to think about it, I agree, Michael. I think suspending him and having a conversation about anger management or something is reasonable. But to me, to the point you made about John Thompson, you're a leader of kids. You're not even a leader of men. You're the adult in the room. You're the adult leading a group of kids. So to me, it's wild that there have now been two circumstances in which him as the head coach is the reason his players were potentially put into danger. Like, if I'm a parent of one of those kids and I have a really great kid who's a top potential recruit, do you want him to go play for that coach? That's my concern if I'm Michigan. Are people going to want to send their – now, listen, you could look on the flip side and say we love the passion he brings. But listen, it's not 1985 anymore. Bobby Knight wouldn't make it today.
No, I was going to bring him up, and you're right, he wouldn't make it today.
Like, you know, listen, Bobby Knight wouldn't exist today. Bobby Knight, let's be honest, isn't really even lauded anymore. His name is now tainted. He's thought of as a psychopath who had a great winning record, but who devolved and over time really sort of ended up not being as great as he could have been because he carried himself like a maniac. It's 2022. You can't do it. So, listen, Juwan Howard has always seemed to be a good dude, solid NBA player, class when he was at Michigan. So you're right. You don't need to throw the guy away and throw the baby out with the bathwater. But my gut was like, dude, don't be the reason that the kids on your team are throwing punches. Whether the coach from Wisconsin should have touched his elbow or not, come on, bro. Let's keep it together.
I mean, when that is the only defense, you know, everybody that's on Juwan's side, well, you know, he put his hands on him. Well, I mean, well, what is this, a playground? He put his hands on him. He put his hands on his elbow. He put his hand on his elbow as if you're going to stop somebody to talk with them. He didn't shove him. He didn't grab his collar. It wasn't an aggressive move where he's going to fight. I mean, take a look at Juwan Howard. Take a look at the Wisconsin coach. Juwan Howard would eat him for lunch. I mean, he's looking down at him. It wasn't an aggressive move by Howard at all.
And by the way, furthermore, in my feelings that Juwan was in the wrong here, it had gotten broken up. He didn't throw the hand at the coach who did it.
Right. But so then now, the other coach looked like he was definitely jabbering from the
outside.
Oh,
yeah, he was. No, and I'm sure the other one was being a jackwagon and saying really dumb stuff. Okay, so now it's no longer about the fact that a hand was put on you, though. Now you're responding to someone who's saying something. Listen, all of it was bad behavior. There's no doubt. But the problem is, in any situation, when you're the person who decides to throw that first hand, there are different repercussions. That's sort of the system that we live with.
Yeah, you're right. You got to be the adult in the room when you are literally the adult in the room.
That's what you're paid to be.
Right.
Is the adult in the room. So listen, I don't think they'll fire him, but he certainly should be a hearty suspension.
All right, so let's listen to Jay Billis. He was on with KJM this morning, and he said you have to hold both coaches accountable.
It should be no less than it would be for a player, because I tend to think that we would be shaking our fingers at players and saying that the adults in the room know better. And it was the adults in the room that started this. Now, the players are adults, too. We tend to infantilize the players all the time in college sports, and they're adults. And some of them have their own children. But it was the coaches that acted like babies here. And I think the focus should be on the coaches. And if the sanctions are any less than it would be for a player, that would frost me a little bit.
Well, I mean, what would a player get suspended? A couple of games? I think it has to be more than that. You know, maybe suspend him for the remainder of the regular season and then the Big Ten championship. Now, Michigan's struggling right now, so I don't know where they will eventually end up. If they're an NCAA tournament team, we'll see. But, you know, the initial reaction of the AD of Michigan was not a positive one for Howard. He apologized to the Wisconsin AD, and the Michigan president apologized to the president of Wisconsin as well. So you don't make an apology unless you thought something was wrong. And then to make matters worse, Juwan Howard, in the press conference after this all happened, didn't seem at all like he thought he had done anything wrong. Here is Kendrick Perkins, his take.
Juwan Howard should get suspended but he shouldn't get fired because Greg Gard played a huge role in this and being petty. He knew what he was doing calling that timeout. He know going in Wisconsin, that crowd was already rocking. It's a hostile environment. He knew what he was doing. And by the way, when they were in the handshake line, Juwan Howard actually was trying to walk past him, not even trying to talk to him. And when a grown man tells you, don't put your hands on me, hey, don't put your hands on him.
I hear
Again,
you.
I hear what Kendrick's saying, but Peter, did you think that was an aggressive putting his hands on him? Do you think he was like trying to fight him? I mean, that's silly.
Well, let
I
me
mean, that's
this.
Playground stuff.
I mean, listen, if you were out at the bar, if you were out at the bar and he did that, I can see how now we're making the conversation is, hey, he said don't put your hands on him, and you did. Bad idea. If they were drunk at a bar, okay? But that wasn't the situation. It was after a game. In theory, it's two professionals. And he put his hand out to be like, hey, let me talk to you. Okay, not a great idea to say that like that is now justification for why a melee ensued. Or a, not a melee, it's a bit strong, but a fracas ensued. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Again, I understand everybody defending the fact that Juwan didn't like the fact that Coach Gard had called the timeout. And I don't like it either. But the flip side is, why was Juwan Howard pressing bench players when they had no chance to come back? So maybe that got Gard. I mean, again, these guys are all...
Every issue that anybody has with anybody, it's all about when you start it. So if you want to start it with Juwan Howard throwing the hand at the assistant coach, well, then he's the one who did it. If you want to go back a minute before that and say it was Gard putting his hand on him, then it started there. If you want to go back before that, then it's Wisconsin calling a timeout. But if you want to go back before that, it's Juwan Howard pressing. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Conflict is all perception. They both thought they were aggrieved. Like, both of them clearly made mistakes. And I think once cooler heads prevail, no one needs to lose their job. But, like, I resent the false equivalency. I saw this. People throwing out the Bobby Knight thing as if Bobby Knight is now considered a hero who didn't do terrible things. Oh, well, Bobby Knight wasn't suspended when he threw a chair 30 years ago. It's not the same game. I truly think, Michael, that in this era, Bobby Knight would not be coaching. He would have been out on his second tantrum.
Well, I mean, you can only imagine the stuff that we don't know that Bobby Knight did.
Exactly.
In the era of cell phones and cameras and social media, you know, when he actually put a pizza box full of excrement on the floor in Indiana because he wanted to taunt his players, he'd be fired right then. So, yeah, that stuff doesn't play anymore. It just doesn't. So you can't say Bobby Knight threw a chair and nothing happened to him. Something would happen to him now. Something would definitely happen to him now. Now, before we take your phone calls, here's Mike Greenberg with his take on Juwan Howard.
And we all have a tendency, perhaps sometimes, to give the benefit of the doubt to people that we are choosing to give the benefit of the doubt to. My immediate reaction to your question would be, I would still send Stevie to play for him. Now, the better question is, if this was a different coach, one I had never met, one about whom I had no preconceived notion, would it influence my thinking? I think the answer has got to be yes. Like, you have to at least take it into account in some way, if only from a purely practical standpoint, which is this is so public and he's going to get suspended and all that, that he probably then becomes a candidate to get fired if something else happens, right? Like this is not something you get like 3, 4, 5 strikes at, right? Like if there's another incident like this, he might get fired. And you have to take that into account, I think, when you're assisting your child in making a big decision like that.
All right, so I have a cheap shot question to you, Peter, before we go to break.
All right.
And a lot of people want to talk about this. We'll get to your calls. What timeout chapped Howard more? The one by Gard or the one by Chris Webber?
I knew it. I knew where you were going there.
I think the one by Gard.
Well, evidently. He didn't try to fight Chris Webber, as far as we know.
1-800-919-3776. That's the number. We'll come back with your phone calls on the Howard situation right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
When Bobby Knight threw the chair across the court, I mean, right where photographers and some of the students were sitting, he got one game. Got one game. He'd be suspended for the whole year now to do something like that. And remember another one? Remember when John Chaney, the great coach of Temple, he hated John Calipari. This is when Calipari was coaching UMass. And Calipari was at the front of a press room having a press conference, and Chaney came in and had to be restrained, screaming at Calipari that he was going to kill him. Kill him. Yeah,
that was crazy.
These are different times, man. Stuff that you could get away with 20 years ago, you cannot get away with now. There's too many eyes, too many opinions, too many portals for people to express their opinions. That's how people get canceled. People might have been canceled 20, 25 years ago. There was no way to cancel them. Now you can cancel people. If enough people get together, you can cancel people. I'm not saying that I love that, but you can cancel people. Back then, you couldn't. You can write a letter to the editor. That didn't have as much juice, I don't think. Let's go to the phones.
Please.
Let's start this off with Sam in Allenburg. Sam.
Yeah, I went through the same thing. I was a coach, and we were in a tournament. And a lot of times when you're coaching, you play the same teams, year after year. So you kind of get to know their personalities. We were up by 20 points. We were kind of blowing out the other teams. And I could tell the coach was upset because we weren't slowing down, and he could tell we were kind of beating him pretty bad. Well, after the game, I knew that he was going to be heated because I knew he was a heated coach. We walked in the handshake line, and as we come up against each other, he stepped in front of me just like he did with Juwan Howard, the Wisconsin coach, and he put his hands on me. That's so inappropriate that there's no place for that. And then he keeps talking. And when coaches are heated and you're playing tournaments or games, he's agitated and started this whole thing by putting his hand. You don't put your hands on coaches. You just don't. And he crossed the line when he did. There was no place for that. What Juwan Howard did, he shouldn't have done. He should have never hit the coach. But you can tell everybody gets involved, and that's what happened with us. Everybody got involved.
But, Sam, how did he put the other coach with you, Sam? How did he put his hands on you? Where were the hands? What did he do?
He did exactly what this coach did.
Grabbed your
if
elbow?
You watch, this coach actually stepped in front of Juwan Howard the same way. So he stopped his impediment. He was trying to avoid him. If you look, he's trying to avoid him because he probably knew the same thing, that they could have been a confrontation. So Juwan's trying to avoid him. He stepped in front of him and put his hands on his shoulders, couldn't let him move. And if you look, he's talking at the same time. And when you're playing sports, if you played sports or coach sports, you're going to get heated. That happens. It gets heated. But you got to control it. But at the same time, he crossed the line by putting his hands on the coach. I mean, and then what Juwan Howard did was, we shouldn't have done that either. I agree with that. But it started with him putting his hands on him.
Well, I hear what you're saying. And again, in the heat of battle, I guess you have a different opinion of it, a different view of it. But I don't look at him as putting his hands on him in an aggressive, let's fight way. I just don't. Maybe Juwan Howard, who was steamed, felt it differently. But he didn't hit guard. He just lost his mind and then hit the assistant, who might have said something objectionable. I have no idea. But I don't think that guard is in any line to get suspended or disciplined for what he did. And I think that Howard is going to get disciplined for what he did.
I just don't think the you can't put your hands on someone argument, that's like bar and street rules. It's not the same thing at your job. Like, if I was in a bad mood and I'm at work going through something, and maybe Michael and I had a big argument even, and then you come and put your hand on my shoulder, and I go get your hand off of me, and you keep your hand there for a second, you're like, hey, let me just talk to you for a second. I can't then swing and punch Michael in the face and go, well, I said don't put your hands on me. It's just, you're applying, like, rules of engagement in the street with a stranger to rules while you're at work. And I think it's faulty to do that.
Let's go to George in Clinton. What's up, George?
Hello.
Hi, George.
So, regular watcher, first time caller.
Okay. Thank you. Welcome aboard.
Well, thank you very much. And first of all, I want to say my wife, who has very little use for sports, actually enjoys watching Yes at 3 o'clock in the afternoon because she just loves the way you three go back and forth with each other.
Tell your wife thank you. Thank you very much.
And she wishes Don well.
Yes.
So here's my thought. 115 years ago, W.E.B. Du Bois said that the great issue in the 20th century would be the issue of race. I am just wondering about your thoughts about the white coach who represents privilege, putting the hand on the elbow of the coach of color, and the reaction that followed.
You know what, George? I don't even look at it that way. I mean, I think Juwan Howard probably has way more money than guard. When you say privilege, we don't know where guard came from. I mean, people would look at me and say, well, I'm white. I came from privilege. I didn't come from any privilege. I mean, other than if you want to say being white is a privilege. But I came from very, very humble beginnings. So I don't think we could judge people from the color of their
but
skin.
But I do think the caller makes a point that he called out the elephant in the room, because in 2022, sometimes for good, sometimes for bad, this is the way these conversations go. There's
right.
No doubt about it. The second I brought this up in my group chat yesterday, or someone else did, and we started analyzing it, Ebro right away starts pulling out comparisons to Bobby Knight. Oh, well, everyone loves Bobby Knight. So I know immediately, and Ebro is one of the most racial thinkers of anyone that I know in the world, that he went there immediately, and which just lets me know other people are going there immediately too. I go on social media and I see that. So people are going, I think the caller is right on, he is right on the money for pointing out the elephant in the room. A white coach decided to grab a black coach, as it's seen. Then that black coach responds aggressively, which falls into the stereotype that we have in American society of the, quote, aggressive black man, and then is being sort of punished publicly, taking a flogging for his reaction. So I do think he's right for pointing out that that conversation will happen. But, yeah, that's not the conversation we're having on this show. On this show, we're trying to look at what is the logical response for what happened and how did we get there. And on this show, we feel like firing would be too much, but you certainly need a suspension of some sort for being the guy who threw the punch. Regardless of how it started, the person who then threw an open-handed swing at someone that then led to your players throwing punches, to me, that requires punishment. Whether guards should also be punished in some way too, I'm not sure.
It's a dangerous road to walk down, though, Peter, because everything in life could be looked through as in a racial prism, and sometimes it's just not that. I mean, would Juwan Howard react any differently if the Wisconsin coach called the timeout and was black? No, I don't think he'd still be chapped. And if the Wisconsin coach was black and grabbed his elbow, would he still
be in the
get
same
that
spot.
Angry?
Yeah,
so
yes.
I'm sorry. I am very sensitive, and you know, the 61-year-old white guy can't say what's a racial incident or not, but I think you could play the race card on a lot of things in life. I just don't know if that's this case right here.
Yeah, I do think this would have played out the same way no matter what, but the way it's going to be responded to on social media in particular is going to be seen through that prism to some degree at least.
Let's go to Edgar in the Bronx. Edgar.
How you doing, guys? Good afternoon. I feel that there's blame to go on both sides. Yes, guards shouldn't have touched Juwan, but Juwan really overreacted, in my opinion. And as far as him trying to get fired, it might be a possibility, in my opinion, because it happened at Maryland last year. It happened again yesterday. And then on top of that, what to me is my third strike, it's, I'm just only speaking for me, is his press conference afterward. He felt like he didn't do anything. He was a victim. And the fact that when a reporter asked him, weren't you playing the press? He said, no, it was a five-man press, man-to-man. So that answer to me was kind of confusing. Like, so if it wasn't a press that you was doing at the end of the game, then what? And you said that it was a press, what was it? And usually, like, I don't know, from my years of watching basketball, if a situation you're down by 15 with 15 seconds to go, why don't you play a 2-3 zone and just run, let the other team run up the clock and just let go home, shake hands, and next game? I just want to figure out what you feel about that.
Yeah, I hear everything that you're saying, except I don't think that this guy should get fired. I'm sorry. Again, the Maryland incident looks bad, but I think this is the incident you say, okay, this is the last time this happens. You know, the Maryland incident didn't throw any punches. He got out of control and had to be restrained and got thrown out of the game. Didn't throw any punches, didn't precipitate a brawl. This precipitated a brawl. So this is the one where you give him a warning and say, if this happens again, Juwan, you're out. Now, also, Michigan has to be careful because right now, some of the most famous alum in the game of their university are the Fab Five. And that's a big, big part of fundraising and recruiting and things like that. If you get rid of Juwan Howard, that means you're getting rid of Jalen Roses on ESPN. You're probably getting rid of Chris Webber. You're getting rid of all of the five guys because they're going to stand behind their guy. And do you really want to alienate yourself from a group of guys that really did a lot of good things for the university and probably are parts of fundraising as well? And I don't think the guy did anything so egregious that he should lose his job. I believe he should be suspended. I'm not so wise as to say how many games would be the right amount. But for a guy to lose his job, I don't think you look at the Maryland thing as the last chance. I think you look at this as the last chance. The Maryland thing gets you concerned that it's a pattern, but this is your last chance, I would say to him.
Yeah, and listen, I think you'd want to hear from him that he's at least concerned about this, you know, like, and that he takes it seriously. But I agree. I think it would be rising well above to say he should be fired for it. In the moment, I thought, oh, my God, you got to fire this guy. He's putting his kids in danger. Having a little bit of time to think about it, you think about who Juwan Howard is overall, I don't think that's the case. But I do think he needs a slap on the wrist and a serious conversation about, like, dude, we get it. We love that you're emotional. We get that you're passionate, want to fight for these kids. You just can't literally fight for these kids.
Now, one of the coaches on Wisconsin, I think, might have some kind of punishment coming is the guy who got hit.
What are they saying he did?
Well, because I'm Chris Carlin on his Twitter feed. He was filling in today for Alan Hahn. He showed that after this all broke up, this guy's on the outskirts of the crowd and, you know, throwing his hands down by his groin like the old WWE sign.
Oh, the old DX chop.
Yeah,
yep.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a way for an assistant who is also an educator to comport himself either.
Nope.
So we'll have to see. And he could say, well, I got hit, so I lost my mind. Again, everybody has an excuse. Everybody has an excuse before it escalates. But you have to be careful. These guys have to be represented. They have to be they are these children. They're not children, as Jay Billis said. These young adults' parents on campus. When you send your kid to play for coach, that coach becomes the de facto parent when the parents at home and they're with them. You can't show the kids it's okay. The Wisconsin coach can't show the kids it's okay to do something like that. And certainly Juwan Howard can't show the kids it's okay to do that. I don't think guard's going to be disciplined. I don't think he should. I mean, if you look at college basketball, and especially in those setup games, Peter, where they play little sisters of the poor for money, even in football, and they run up the score, that would tick me off. And it happens all the time. It happens a lot in women's college basketball, too. Run up the score. Just run it up. That's a bad look because there are kids that you're embarrassing, too. Calling a timeout there is certainly not the right thing to do, but it's not egregiously bad.
No, we see things of that level quite a bit. It's going to happen again. That is a regular part of the ends of basketball games. And by the way, again, to the point I made earlier, where do you want to start with who was wrong? Was he wrong for calling the timeout, or was Howard wrong for pressing?
Right.
My thought is neither.
They're both wrong.
They're either neither or both. However you want to look at it. But Michael, listen, I don't have a problem with Juwan Howard if you're down 14 and you keep pressing to the bitter end. But then you can't have a problem with them wanting to call a timeout to make sure their backups can break the press.
I mean, for him to be pressing, just think about it, right? The coach of the Cincinnati Bengals didn't call a timeout in the Super Bowl with seconds left on the clock. So what is he pressing for? Zach Taylor gave up. And I said that was wrong. What are you
right,
pressing
well,
for?
Well, obviously,
there's no physical way, Peter, in 30 seconds that you can make up 15 points.
Well, Juwan Howard obviously feels the way you do, the way you felt about that Super Bowl. He believes that you keep pressing to the final second. There are some coaches who are going to be that way. And I understand why if you're coaching against that, why, especially when you have your backups in the game, you want to talk to them and come up with something to break the press. I get it. It's honestly not that deep. The truth is, these guys, there are video compilations of how many times they've had peaceful interactions.
Right.
All right? They see each other two or three times a year, minimum. So it seemed like Juwan was angry and ready to walk past him, and guard was the kind of guy who's like, hey, let's talk this through right now, and it wasn't the right way to do that, and then things got crazy from there.
All right, an NFL player, an active NFL player, did something reportedly last week that would be considered Herculean.
Huh?
And almost hard to believe.
Okay.
I'll tell you what that is. We'll continue to take your phone calls on the Howard incident when we get back right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
And we've got a dust up right now. Juwan Howard and Greg Gard were going nose to nose, and now we got a problem. We got pushing and shoving. We got a lot of chirping. We got a wrestling match going on.
You're a leader of kids. You're not even a leader of men. You're the adult leading a group of kids. So to me, it's wild that there have now been two circumstances in which him as the head coach is the reason his players were potentially put into danger. If I'm a parent of one of those kids and I have a really great kid who's a top potential recruit, do you want him to go play for that coach?
The
Michael
K. Show.
It was the coaches that acted like babies here.
On 98.7 ESPN.
You know, we talked a lot about the Juwan Howard stuff. We should give props to Andrew Catalan, who did that game for CBS. I thought he handled that very well. That could really go off the rails, and you know, you could really start opining and getting a little bit too emotional. I thought he did a great job. He just said what was going on and laid it out there. And I know he's always a favorite of Peter's when he gives the NFL announcers. So that was a good job by Catalan.
That was really, really solid. And it was interesting. Did you see, I don't know if you noticed it, when it happened, they started running the CBS music over it to end things. And then as they're wrapping up, they made a great call. Whoever the technical director was, or the director, the director just stopped it and pulled the music down and let it play out. Because you can't fade out on that.
No.
You have to. Now it's part of the news of the game. So they did a great job covering that.
Now, it is out there, and we mentioned this at the beginning of the show, so we get new listeners at 5 o'clock, obviously. People are getting out of work. You're hearing me, and you're hearing Peter. And you're not hearing Don. And, you know, I was communicating with Don this morning, and, you know, I know Peter knows what's going on with Don, and I just said to Don, how do you want us to explain your absence? And he said, just tell the truth, but tell him that I'm getting better. And the truth is that Don is in the hospital today with COVID pneumonia. He had COVID, what would you say, Peter, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, around two weeks ago, because he was back at the Garden last week, right?
No. He was at the Garden before, I believe. Last week, yes.
Yeah, because he'd already started testing negative, so he was back to work at the end of last week.
Right, he tested negative.
He had it, probably a full couple of weeks ago now.
Right, and so the week that he had it, that he was testing positive, he refused to listen to me and Peter because that's Don, and that's why everybody loves Don. But sometimes he's his own worst enemy.
I'm passionate.
And he just worked. And his voice was scratchy, but he said he felt okay. And, you know, he had a temperature that he would have at night, and he would take some Tylenol, and it would go down during the day. and it would spike at night again. But then, as Peter said, he tested negative a couple of times in a row and then went to the Garden and did two Ranger games, the play-by-play, not just the pre- and post-game. So, you know, when you're doing a hockey game, it's kind of chilly in the Garden. His immune system probably weakened from the COVID, but he was over the COVID. And then on Friday, on our pre-show meeting, he was telling us how he couldn't get warm, that he was, you know, shivering. You know, as Peter said earlier, he would go outside, get something, and then, like, it was cold out last week, and he couldn't get warm. And when he took a shower, he couldn't get warm. He was shivering and cold. And so we thought maybe it was a doctor told him it might be the beginning of long COVID. Then over the weekend, he just, what did he say, Peter? He couldn't move?
He couldn't get warm at the end of last week.
Right, and then this weekend.
And then this weekend, he was low energy and low appetite.
Right, he had a hard time moving. So he wisely went to the hospital, and they found out that he has COVID pneumonia. And those are scary words to hear. In our communications with Don, he said that he feels a lot better. He's actually watching the show right now. His hospital room has yes.
Has he texted you during the show? Because I haven't heard a word.
He has not.
You're watching? We might have put him to sleep.
And, the Bob Raisman reported on Twitter, Greg Joyce with the New York Post. So, obviously, people love Don. And this isn't even a joke. This is not even a joke, everybody. There are people that hate Peter, people that love Peter, people that hate me, people that like me, whatever. Everybody loves Don. There's nobody that doesn't really love Don. So, as I said at the beginning of the show, if you want to get a hold of him, I'm sure he's checking his Twitter. He's at Don LaGreca. And if you'd like him, you want to send him good wishes or send good thoughts. But he said that he's hoping to be discharged from the hospital tomorrow. We're stressing him, don't get back to work right away. Because, you know, when he puts in the full 70%, Peter, he's going to weaken himself again.
Well, yeah, that really is the hard part, because I forgot about that we did tell Don a couple of weeks ago, like, hey, why don't you take a day?
He won't.
He's not a take-a-day guy. You know, right. I'm like, I understand, because I have serious FOMO about missing shows too. But man, with stuff like this, you know, including COVID, all of it. Yeah, of course we know now, especially for vaccinated people, COVID can be a breeze, but you do want to be extra precautionary and still. Like when I had it a few weeks ago, or at the beginning of the year for the second time, I didn't feel very much, but I just figured sleep as much as you possibly can, right?
But like, you worked through it too.
I did, but I was just sleeping a lot. Like, when I wasn't on the air, I was sleeping. And I hope Don does that here and bounces back, because he truly is. I mean, he's also I was telling Natalie today, he's just one of the most lovely human beings I've ever dealt with. I mean, for someone who kind of plays a crazy man when the mic is on, he is as gentle and sweet a guy as there is. So I hope he rests up and we get him back in a few days. And let's just be honest, Michael. He would have faked it as well as anybody, but come on, he picked a good day. Us just lauding the NBA All-Star Game for hours, it's a good day for him to be off.
Firmly. Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
He might have just said, I'm good, and just laid out. But
No, that's not what Don does, though. If he was here, he's going to get after it. But I think he knows it's not a day where he's missing a ton in terms of Don's wheelhouse.
And, you know, we were all communicating with him this morning, and I joked around. I said, listen, I'm going to bring a Comrex to the hospital. And Don didn't say don't do it. If I could have set him up to do the radio show, he would have done it. But he needs to rest, and the fact that he hasn't texted, maybe the TV's on, but he is resting. So a lot of people in the business have been texting me during the show, is Don okay, is Don okay? And believe me, everybody, we know the guy that's loved on this show is Don, and we love him. He's a brother to us, and as Peter said, you know, just a terrific, terrific guy. So think good thoughts. Hopefully he will get discharged from the hospital tomorrow, but we wanted to tell everybody exactly what was going on rather than just, well, Don's not there, what's going on? And Don's the one who told me, because when Peter was going through it, when Don was going through it, we didn't say anything. They just plowed through. But, you know, Don said you could tell them the truth. Tell them I have COVID pneumonia. So that's what he's going through right now. He was in the hospital last night. He checked in last night. And, Peter, my guess is he probably didn't lock himself into the All-Star game.
I don't think he was dialed in last night. Although, you know what? That's good to sleep, too, if you're in the hospital, no? It's a great event to just throw on and kind of chill out to.
But I don't think you could sleep through that because there were so many exciting things that were going on.
Well, you could have slept early until Steph started saying, I'm going to win MVP. And when Steph decided it's my time, by the way, didn't know he never had an All-Star MVP.
I was thinking about this, Peter, and this is such a broad scope thing. Oh, well, here is a Don text. Listening to every second, love you guys. So he is listening. So there you go. So Don is listening. Is there anybody in sports? Now think about this. It's not an easy layup, okay? Is there anybody in sports who's as good as Steph is at shooting?
Wait.
Is there anybody in their specific sport that does something to such a level of excellence as he is at shooting long-distance bombs than Steph Curry?
I don't know.
What he
reminds me of, Michael? I think you may respect this as a take.
Okay.
He reminds me of Tony Gwynn and hitting. A guy who can literally do it to – I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong, Michael. Isn't Gwynn a guy who was almost like a science? He could pick kind of the way he wanted to hit the ball and where he could put the ball?
Yes, but the way – I mean, I don't know if there's anybody – like, because he's doing something now. This is a newfangled thing, shooting threes like this. I mean, he's kind of changed the game. He's joked about it in the last couple of months, but he has changed the game. Some might say he's changed it for the worse because now it is totally a three-point shooting league. I look at what he does and his excellence at it, and I say it's Babe Ruth. Because Babe Ruth was hitting home runs more than teams. Well, Steph Curry's doing stuff that nobody does. I mean, there are people that hit three-pointers, but his distance, his range is so spectacular. It was, I don't want to sound corny, it was thrilling to watch him do that last night. It was thrilling. In that third quarter, he could not be stopped. Second and third quarter, he couldn't be stopped. It didn't matter. Hand in his face, whatever, coming off a screen, whatever. 16 three-point shots in 27 attempts. 17 for 30 overall. 50 points. And the All-Star Game MVP. I mean, it's exhilarating to watch. And I mentioned this at the beginning of the show as well. I watched it with my 7-year-old son. And to see it through his eyes and the excitement that he got from watching this and him jumping up and down. He can't miss. He can't miss. And I think people of all ages were screaming he can't miss. But to see the joy that it brought a little kid made it even more joyous for me. I know that sounds corny, but it did. I was so engaged because of how engaged he was. And I thought it was just, it was so special. It was such a great moment for the NBA because the All-Star Game sometimes is a little bit of a farce. You know, no defense whatsoever. And it seems like everybody in the NBA could dunk. So there's nothing special about dunks. But what he does is special. It's a specialty. And yeah, a lot of people shoot three-pointers now. A lot of people shoot three-pointers in the same level of accuracy as him, but nobody does it like him. Nobody does it with the flair. Nobody does it with, you know, there's no distance that he can't hit. He pulled up from the logo at half court in Cleveland yesterday and just drained it and then turned around and didn't even look. He knew it was in. And then the shot that he had from the right corner, he took a three-pointer there and turned around and looked at the crowd and goes, did it go in? Did it go? It's just a skill that is so special that people can't do, but I think that the reason kids love him, Peter, is because they look at him and they can do that. They can't fly through the air and do 360s, but this little guy who doesn't look like an NBA player, doesn't even look like an athlete, is doing these amazing things that everybody could almost like dream about. Any kid could dream and go, oh, I could look like him. Oh, I guess I could shoot like him. I think he and LeBron are the faces of the NBA. They really are.
It's fascinating to think about where he'll land all time. 8-time All-Star, 2-time scoring champ, 3-time NBA champ, 7-time All-NBA, 2-time MVP, NBA 75th anniversary team, and now an All-Star MVP as well. 26 points for his career. The greatest three-point shooter of all time. Michael, there's a case for this guy in the top 10 himself.
Yeah.
I mean, There is. He is reasonably now of the level of like Kobe, you know, and people of that ilk who sit there sort of at the second half of the top 10. He absolutely has changed the game. It's almost like Allen Iverson to me was always the player who was the best pound for pound player I'd ever seen. You know, Allen Iverson was, you know, 6 feet, 200 pounds, dripping wet and standing on high heels. But he got the most out of his body I'd ever seen. Steph gets even more out of it. And he's smaller than AI, I think. Andrew, you get the sense Steph's a couple inches smaller than AI, right?
No, I think he's just taller than. I think Iverson was 6 feet. I think Steph is 6'2". I'd have to look it up, but I think they're similar, though. They're similar.
Very slight dude. And Steph gets the most out of his physical gifts. He's absolutely changed the game. And I don't know that I see anyone in any sport do anything as naturally as Steph shoots the ball. It's crazy. And we talked about that list, the 75th anniversary list. And Andrew and I were talking during a break about Reggie Miller. You know, Reggie's on the list. And if you look up Reggie's stats, Michael, you won't be blown away by most of them. Certainly the number of points he averaged, et cetera, it's not like mind-blowing for his career. But Reggie, the way Reggie played the game was the influence on the way Steph then learned to play the game. You know what I mean? There's no getting to Steph without Reggie. And I remember, obviously, for me as a kid, Larry was the shooter. You now look at how few threes Larry took. He's way down the list because the game wasn't even the same. Reggie became the first real threat, it felt like, to take a three at any moment. And now, to your point, Michael, maybe it's good, maybe it's bad, because of Steph Curry and now Klay and others, it's a totally different game where it's expected that you can knock down the three.
And then when you get a two-point jumper, even Van Gundy said this on one of the last games he did on ESPN before the break, he said, that's a bad shot right there. Because if you're going to go right inside the three, that's not a good shot to take 2 points. You get another point if you take a step back. So people that just shoot two-pointers are not looked at as great as those that are shooting three. So I personally don't think it makes the game great. I think it makes it one-dimensional, people firing up threes, and most of them are not as good as Steph. And I think it takes away the artistry in the paint and driving to the basket. Not as many people do it. So in terms of like who does something as well as he does it, you know, Andrew just texted me, said, how about Kyrie's handle? I mean, the way Kyrie dribbles the ball, I don't think anybody else in the NBA does. It does literally look like it's on a string. And you could look at Kevin Durant and go, no big man shoots like that. No big man handles like that. But still, there just seems to be a different level with Steph. It's just amazing. I can't think of maybe Barry Bonds hitting home runs, and we later find out that maybe that wasn't on the up and up. But he hit home runs the way nobody had hit home runs. But I can't think of anybody right. Otani's doing stuff that's never been done before. But did those guys change the game? Steph has literally changed the game of basketball.
Well, we felt 2 years ago, I used to regularly throw out that it felt like Mahomes was turning into Steph Curry of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, Michael, whether this last year sort of bounced him back to reality a bit. Even though he was still great most of the year. But do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's slight. He's very relatable and sort of lovable for kids. He plays the game in this sort of backyard playground style of chucking it around that makes you feel like anyone could do it, even though no one can. And he just does ridiculous things, no-look passes and all the shovel passes and things that he does. But I don't know if it still remains to be seen whether Mahomes can consistently become what Steph Curry is in the NBA. Because, Michael, not only has Steph been consistent throughout his career, but the fact that he's back at this level and is an MVP candidate now after being gone for as long as he was and being beat up for a couple of years, it's ridiculous. And I've said this throughout the year, and I'll say it again. If coming off the injury, minus Durant, they win the title again, his legacy goes up another notch or two.
Absolutely. And, you know, I judge, am I getting overly excited about something that I'm watching by watching professionals who do that for a living watch what I'm watching. And at the time that Steph was going off in the All-Star game yesterday, Allen Iverson was on the air on the main broadcast on TNT. And he and Reggie Miller and Dwayne Wade were acting like Charlie was acting in my living room.
Yep.
With that kind of joy and wonderment, because this guy's doing stuff that nobody does. Both benches were just slack-jawed at it.
Well, let's also, Michael, let's be real. Not only was that meaningful for you yesterday, I guarantee you, I will know Charlie for as long as I'm alive, and he will be a grown adult way down the line. You will have been gone for decades. And Charlie and I will be hanging out at a barbecue, and I'll say, you remember that day you watched the All-Star game with your dad? He will, and seriously though, he will remember that forever. That's the kind of thing that makes you love sport
yep.
and a player for the rest of your life. And he'll say, I was watching with my dad, and Steph Curry could not miss. I've never seen anything like it in my life. And he made the weekend. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are already little pieces that made the weekend great. The 75th anniversary celebration was fantastic. But Steph doing it, it becomes a historic moment.
My brother-in-law texted me on Saturday while I was watching the festivities on Saturday. He said, why isn't Steph in the three-point shootout? And the only thing I could think to tell him, Peter, and I wonder if you agree, that's can't win for him. If he loses, it's a terrible look. If he wins, well, he's supposed to. So isn't it best that he sits
already,
out?
He's done already it, won, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's why Michael Jordan didn't do every dunk contest. After he'd done it and conquered it, then you can only lose. That's the only thing I can think, because it would be so great to have Steph Curry in the
he won it. By the way, he won it last year. He won it. Steph Curry wins 2021. So he just won it also. And that was his second time. But you're right. I mean, and also, isn't it more fun to see what he was doing yesterday? Like, I know Steph can knock it down. Like, all of the, every solid NBA shooter can knock down three-pointers from just there at the line. What makes Steph thrilling is when he starts heaving them from half court. Or what about, Michael, some of the ones yesterday that were like intentionally rainbow shots that he was chucking up way high. Like, he just does so much that makes it thrilling. And yesterday turned out to be an absolute treat. And we didn't mention this earlier. I gotta show love to the city of Cleveland. I know it may be obvious, but I don't know if you guys found it touching at all. I found the way that they received LeBron James to be really nice. They obviously, now that he won his title there, they do not care that he left for Los Angeles.
And I think he's coming back.
Really?
He kind of left that door open, yeah. Because now Cleveland's good. You put LeBron there, he has one more year with the Lakers, right? And then another year before Bronny is eligible to play in the NBA. So he plays next year with the Lakers. What would stop him from going back to Cleveland for 1 year, play with Jared Allen, play with all the young players that they have, really good players. They're a good team. That's what he did when he went to Miami. Remember, they built it back up. They got Kyrie Irving. He was the last piece. He came back. He won the championship. So he could do that for 1 year, and then the team that drafts Bronny gets him also on a cheap one-year deal.
By the way, it's amazing because the timing would be ridiculous. Because when you think about where they are right now, I mean, Cleveland is in the four spot. They're 35-23. They'll be solid again next year. But both, you guys would all agree, as good as they are, they're not going to be a championship contender. They're a player short of championship.
They're probably a LeBron James short.
They're a LeBron James short. That is such a great point. He could go for one more time in L.A. I will tell you, though, he's got to get one more in L.A.
I don't know. I mean, Anthony Davis can't stay healthy. I'm not knocking him, but he can't stay healthy. Without Anthony Davis, they can't do anything. Yeah, Rick DiPietro chimes in and said, how about in terms of somebody doing something while Bryson DeChambeau driving a golf ball?
You know what? That is fair. I mean, he does it in a way that literally no one does it. I mean, he feels like – now, it is a little different, I guess, in the fact – no, maybe not. I was going to say it is different in the fact that now everybody drives the ball in a crazy way. But it's the same thing in the NBA. Everyone can shoot threes, too. The difference is DeChambeau hits it 30 yards further, and it's the same with Steph. He's just that much better. That's not a bad one.
Don has chimed in now. He said, don't you think if Bird and Miller played today, they would be Curry? I don't know. And you know how I think Larry Bird was just amazing. You know, he walked into the locker room before the three-point contest, said, who's finishing second? That kind of bravado. But I don't know if anybody, I don't even think Reggie Miller had the range of Steph Curry.
He
just don't think he did.
I watched Larry Bird hitting a shot for me was the most thrilling thing in my life. I was obsessed with every minute I got to watch Larry play. He's not the same kind of shooter as Steph. He can't create his own shots in the same way either. You know? Steph can literally sprint around a screen, come peeling off of it, and just chuck it. Larry was a slower, prodding player. You know, Larry wanted to catch and shoot his threes. Steph can create his own. From range, Larry didn't even grow up. When Larry grew up as a little kid, there wasn't even a three-point line.
Right.
So he wasn't developing his entire life to be a three-point shooter. Steph clearly made a decision. I'm going to be the dude who shoots from beyond the three-point line. And by the way, for anyone out there listening who's never been on an NBA court, you've only shot the college and high school three. I cannot stress to you how long that three is.
From the top, on the corner, it's okay.
At the top and the wings, it is deep. I mean, that in the corners, it's manageable. In the corners, it is manageable. But at the top, it is a monster shot. And Steph can do it from everywhere.
Well, let's take a brief time out. A lot of people want to talk about what we're talking about. 1-800-919-3776. Get well to Donnie. Hopefully, he'll be back soon. Kay, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.